What's in a name? In biblical times, names were an indication of heritage and character. I wonder sometimes how much my own name has shaped me. Would I be a different person if I had a different name? Would you? The name Emily means hardworking or industrious. Say what you will about me, I am diligent to a fault. If I see a hole, it takes everything in me not to fill it, no matter whose job it may be. I'm not sure, though, that that was my parents' intention in naming me. I'm told that they named me after my grandma's sister, Aunt Emily, whose most famous act was getting tipsy and mooning everyone at my baby shower. I don't know that I have fully tapped into my inner geriatric mooner, but it's nice to know that a little non-diligence is built into my heritage too. I wonder how Jesus felt about his own name sometimes. That's part of what we're here to celebrate today. You only think it's New Year's Day. In church time, that happened a long time ago, back in November, the beginning of Advent. In church time, today is the Feast of the Holy Name. It used to be the Feast of the Circumcision, but that didn't sound particularly uplifting. So eventually the focus shifted to that other thing that happened on the eighth day of Jesus' life, when he was officially given his name. In Hebrew, the name Jesus or Joshua means savior or deliverer. No pressure there. Some translators think it means the Lord saves, but in Jesus' case, that didn't take off the pressure in the slightest. To know that that was your name before you were even conceived, to know that angels came separately to both Mary and Joseph in two different Gospels just to make sure that that would be your name. It's a bit of a weight to carry. Savior, deliverer, they might as well have called him God Junior. That doesn't sound quite right, though, does it? Sure, he's the Son of God, but he's also fully God for us. And no matter how much juniors may resemble their fathers, the reflection's never quite perfect. Besides, God, technically, is not a name at all. It's a category. It's like calling your dog, dog, or your child, child. While there may be only one true God, lots of things function in our lives as gods. Be it our jobs or our bank accounts or our country or even our fellow family members sometimes. Whatever it is that we give our ultimate loyalty to, that by definition is our God. So how did the Almighty One we call God end up with such a generic, nondescript name? On some level, it may have been a practical choice. Whenever we start giving specific names, like Adonai or Allah, or Father for that matter, we end up excluding somebody's experience. So many wars have been fought over what to call the maker of us all that perhaps it is better, or at least less bloody, to settle for the least common denominator. Besides, is it even possible to capture the source of all being in any one name? It's like trying to claim ownership of the sun. As Jesus himself once noted, the sun rises on the evil and on the good. It shines where it will, and while we can harness some of its power, the sun will never be fully under our control. Likewise, the reality of the divine is bigger than any one tradition or history, no matter how beloved, no matter how many billions of us align ourselves with it. Who knows? Perhaps it is presumptuous to give God a name at all. Maybe we are better off to think of the divine more like the impersonal sun. If it gives us warmth and brightness and life-giving energy, who really cares what we name it? Well, the fact that it doesn't seem quite right to call the divine an it, that creates some difficulty. Surely the source and end of all love cannot be an it. Maybe our Jewish brothers and sisters are onto something. For them, the divine has a name. They just can't say it out loud. That approach makes some sense. Some say that the deepest realities of our lives cannot ever be captured in any words, be it joy or fear or loss. Even the word love seems inadequate at times to describe how we feel. It's been so market-tested, so commercialized, we're not even sure what it means sometimes anymore. Some might say the same about the word God, I suspect. But because they need some way to talk about the Almighty, Jews often use Adonai or Hashem instead as a kind of placeholder. In English, we translate the divine name as the Lord. So whenever you see the Lord in capital letters in the Old Testament, it's a translation of the name that Moses heard God speak at the burning bush, a name that I won't say out loud at this point. There are some who say that to name something out loud is to limit it somehow. It's a fair point. I mean, what's more terrifying than something that cannot be named? Likewise, the reality of the divine is bigger than anyone, It's part of why we like getting a diagnosis when we're sick, I think. Because once something has a name, then it can be isolated. It can be contained, possibly treated. To the Lord's credit, if the divine is going to have a name at all, it's hard to beat one that means, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. I, for one, don't see that many limits there. Perhaps the only limits are those placed by love. While we can do all sorts of things in our freedom as humans, we often refuse to do some of them because we love. We could cheat, but we don't, because we love. We could hold on to the wrongs committed against us and refuse to forgive, but we don't, because we love. We could trample on each other's hopes with our cold-eyed realism, but we try not to, because we love. The same, at least, is true of the Lord, isn't it? At the end of the book of Exodus, the Lord offers Moses as close to a description of the divine name as we get in Scripture. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. If that is God's heritage and character, we're in pretty good shape, aren't we? Likewise, our first reading from Numbers gives us some insight into the meaning of the divine name. Many of you know this one. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Each line is a little longer than the last, as if God's blessings can't help but overflow. And while the divine has a name here, and a face even, we can still feel the warmth and the brightness and the energy of the sun in it. That uncontained, unbuyable, unbranded sun. Maybe that is as good a description as we can get. There's just one problem, though. I credit songwriter David Wilcox for helping me to name it. In his song, Native Tongue, he writes, "No little words can hold a candle to the splendor of the sun, can explain this world of wonder. and shine the same on everyone. But little words can hold a candle all your own when darkness comes. They're just the size for us to handle. God knows your native tongue. In other words, while the sun always shines, it doesn't always shine on us. We live in darkness at times, and it is delusional to claim otherwise. Don't get me wrong, the sun's great. It just doesn't help us much in the middle of the night when it's hidden halfway around the world or when it feels that way. What we need in the darkness is a candle, something smaller, something closer, someone we can name. And for us as Christians, and for me certainly, that name is Jesus. I'm not sure what to do with a God who cannot be known at all, who has no history, no name, no track record. Jesus, for one, knew darkness. He knew vulnerability. He knew all those things that we think God can't know. He knew what it was like to have to depend on other people and to have even your most diligent and industrious efforts rejected. He knew what it was like to feel the weight and the responsibility of a name, to have a heritage and character to live up to. And he revealed all those things in the very heart of the one who made us all. Because of Jesus, we will never see the Lord in quite the same way ever again. We know more now about what it means when we say that the Lord saves. We see that salvation from the powers of sin and death embodied in Jesus, not just in the way he died, but in how he lived, how he treated people.